Our topic this week, submission. Not a popular concept. Why is it so often I get these very difficult ones to preach on? In our culture, it has such negative connotations. We think of bullying behavior, of people trapped in situations they cannot escape, etc. I also think of the term used in wrestling because of my son's like of that sport. The act of surrender to the hold of one's opponent. I think you're supposed to tap the ground to indicate that you're submitting to them. But it's equally applicable, this word, to oppressive political and military forces. The bullying of others in the home or the workplace. The unfairness of the system, submission to the system, be it legal, educational, medical, whatever. But it's also used concerning the submitting of proposals for consideration, like planning applications. And it has an archaic use to indicate meekness and humility. It all sounds very passive, doesn't it? Having to submit to one another. But we can, of course, sometimes be the ones inflicting that submission on others, and we must always remember that. So how are we going to unpack this difficult word used in various contexts in our scriptures? And, of course, we all know the Arabic word for submission, don't we? Do you know the Arabic word for submission? Islam. The name of their faith means submission to God. We first encounter the word submission in scripture in Genesis when Abraham has had sex with his wife's servant girl, Hagar, and Abraham's wife, Sarah, treats her cruelly, and pregnant Hagar runs away. But God meets with her in the wilderness, as he so often meets people there, and says she is to go back and submit to Sarah and her cruelty. It's part of an outrageous story of cruelty to this woman. It's unbelievable. But in this account, the only person who calls her by name ever in the whole account and respects her is God, represented by his angel, who meets her in the wilderness. And he asks her to return for a purpose, to submit for a purpose. I don't think the way she is treated is in any way justified, but God asked it of her in that specific context. And so through scripture, we see the word used. It's often in terms of Israel's enemies submitting to them. That is, Israel's on top, so to speak. And then those passages we all love, don't we, from the New Testament, about family relationships and who is supposed to be submitting to whom. I think the one I really like is submit to one another. I think that's the most peace-loving one. So here we have an idea which has a good place within social order. Submit your plans to the local authority before you build your house. Submit to the rules of the law, etc. But which is open to abuse by bullies and tyrants, especially behind closed doors. So when we hear the word submission, how are we going to see it in a positive light in our faith? Our reading from Proverbs tells us to trust God with all our heart and not to lean on our own understanding. That doesn't mean we don't use our God-given minds to think with, but that there are many occasions when we don't have perhaps enough information to make a clear judgment. Or maybe we're in new territory in our situation and feel lost and need guidance. Or we just have suffered perhaps a shock or trauma and are not able to think clearly. And the beginning of our reading lays the grounding for all this. Remember God's teachings, keep his commands, never lose your love and faithfulness. because we have a whole armory of understanding on which we can draw for difficult situations if we read and apply the scriptures to our lives. But it doesn't deal with everything that comes our way. New challenges come, things we have no experience of, things that hit us like an Exocet missile and leave us stunned. Sudden and tragic bereavement can be one of these, or finding ourselves involved in some trauma, or becoming the victim of a crime. Injustice done to us can make us want to throw away all we know about God and his love and just take revenge. But don't act on a reflex, says this proverb. Stop. Remember your God. Be faithful to him and seek his way. Submit to his way in this mess. Not to your understanding, but to his. Okay, what is his way? Well, it's the way of forgiveness, the way of reconciliation, if possible, the way of justice and compassion, the way of new beginnings. But even before that, we sometimes have to come to terms with the fact that something bad has happened to us in our situation and we can't do anything about it. So can we learn to live with it, submit ourselves to the reality, and find a way to accept it? I'm not suggesting that whatever this bad thing is has been sent from God. It may have come just because we live in a broken world full of sorrow and sickness. But if we are aware of God's presence with us and submit like Hagar did, not to the injustice, but to God's love and care, then we may find a way to accept with grace that which we would never have chosen to have happen to us. It is to God we submit. So we need to know him and his ways so we can recognize his hand on us when it comes. Sometimes submitting to God and his will can mean putting up with the status quo. But equally, it can mean submitting to his nudging us to do something about a situation. We may be being called by God to actively resist some evil, to stand up for truth and justice, to speak up for the downtrodden when all we want is a quiet life. Submission is only a good thing if it is to God and the things of God. Our reading from Luke's Gospel gave us two contrasting examples. We have Judas, Peter, and John, three of Jesus' chosen 12, but they act in different ways. Judas, for whatever motive we're not told, approaches the chief priests to make a deal to betray Jesus. God alone knows what was in his mind and his motivation, but the scripture states here that Satan had entered him. That's the shorthand we have. And he submitted to evil motives and actions. And throughout history, people have wanted to defend Judas by saying that he was politically motivated and wanted to nudge Jesus into open rebellion against Rome. But that was not Jesus' way of doing things. Jesus submitted to his Father's will, which meant being subject to the evil, the hurt and the pain of this world, as we have a visual image before us of it. But Judas didn't recognize that sort of submission. He leant on his own understanding and made the wrong choice. Peter and John, by contrast, were given a fairly simple and mundane task by Jesus. Little did they know what they were preparing for, and how 2,000 years later we would be reenacting that evening's events in memory of Jesus. They followed his instructions to the letter, found it all as he'd said that they would, and did what he needed them to do for him. They acknowledged him in all they did, and he cleared the path for them. Oh, I know it's easy to see the contrast with hindsight, but none of us has foresight on hindsight. We sometimes just are thrown into a difficult situation and a choice of path to take. How will we know whether we are following our own ideas or being led by God? Well, I haven't got a simple formula to offer you, but I can make a few suggestions. Is the course of action that we think is from God what we might broadly call Christian behavior? That is it legal? Is it just? Is it compassionate? Is it honest? Is there any scriptural precedent for it? In what ways do we understand God has asked us to do this? Was it some words we heard in church, or a Bible passage we read, or a word from another Christian that we respect? How do I feel about submitting myself to this? Do I jump at it, or will it be costly? And if it will be costly, who will pay that cost? Me or someone else, like my family? And if all the answers to all the above lead to its being a path that we think God wants us to take, then am I willing to submit to it? Or will I do it under sufferance and with resentment? If I want to do it for God, then how can I throw myself on his strength and ask him to help me submit to what seems a great burden to bear, perhaps? Some people have gone through all that and submitted with a willing but fearful heart and found that they have been blessed and strengthened through it all. We believe that God is our loving Father, who would not ask from us what he would not give himself. Jesus submitted to his Father's will in his birth, his life, and his death. And Father God also submitted. He submitted to the reality of our helplessness. He submitted to the result of his having given us freedom and to our need of salvation. And he submitted himself to an emptying of himself, as we remembered some weeks ago when we spoke about humility, an emptying of himself in love and rescue. So submission has different aspects. We must never make others submit to us under duress. We may sometimes have to submit to things we can't change and do so by the grace of God. And sometimes we are asked by God to submit to something for his sake, because he has a reason for it and it's part of his purpose. Let's pray that we have the insight to recognize it when it comes, and the strength of character to submit to the will of our loving Heavenly Father. Would you pray with me as I close, please? Dear Lord, on this Passion Sunday, when we remember the cruel pain and torment you suffered for us, we ask you to help us deal with our pains and challenges in a way that is honoring to you and what you ask of us. May we consider it a privilege to submit to whatever is the cost of our faithfulness, to submit to what you may be calling us to do and to be, to submit to your lordship over our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.